Okay.
We're just going to pick up with where we left off, which was just going through and analyzing the machlokes of whether or not you violate with chametz she'eini yadu lecha, whether or not you violate or unaware of the chametz that you possess. Is that the very doresa of Bayer Balimatse? And we saw the three shitos where Rashi Tosfos is not, Rush it is, it's a very shogig, and then you have the middle shita, the Ran, the David, and others. That depends on whether or not you've done tzedika. So the question was just how to understand this. The Rush's position seems to be pretty sensible. What the Torah forbids here with this Bayer Balimatse is possessing chametz, owning chametz, let's say. And the person who has chametz that he is not aware of has chametz. So this would seem to be an instance of that which the Torah has prohibited. And therefore, you may be b'shogi, but there is an avera. It's ka'ochachel b'shogi. So the question was, what do the other Rishonim say to that? And so far we went through one possibility, which is maybe they think that this is a case of anus. And inasmuch as that's so, it's not an avera. The two premises there being one, it's just a case of anus, that we discussed in terms of the parameters of ones and possibility that ones applies to cases where you've done everything that we can expect you to do, and there's no reason to think that you were engaged in the Isser. So this would be possible, certainly, for those shitos, the middle shitos, that hold that you don't violate it when you do bedikah. And that, lechora, is exactly what the Mithlam says. That's what the Hashlama hints to, and we work through the Maran and the Nidavid as perhaps implying that, just implicitly basing themselves on that Yisod, and what they discuss is the fact that you did everything you could. What they don't discuss is why that should matter, and the answer probably is honest. And the second premise, the second proposition, that honest is not an avera, so that we discuss is at least open to question. Vegar has a suffix about it. What these Rishonim seem to be assuming is that it is not an avera, and that is probably the more traditional, prevalent view. Okay. So now what we're looking into is, I think, two additional possibilities. Again, the overall structure here was maybe those who disagree with the Rush accept the premise that what we have here is the equivalent of Achilas Chelev. But they think that nonetheless, this is an equivalent to Achilas Chelev B'Shogeg, that's something that exempts it or undermines there being an Aveira here. That was the main direction that we're looking into. The other direction we'll come to soon, which is to disagree about what the Isser actually prohibits. But within this perspective, so we had one possibility that the reason that this is not an Avera is on us. And now, the second one I think we can look at is the possibility, the basis why you would say, in Echinami, this is Achilos, Chelet Ki'ilu. However, there's still no Avera, and that is based on Misasek, Trumas Asek. The original context of the Ptur Misasek in the Sugya Krisus is a Ptur Chatas, and the Gemara cites two makoros for it. One, Ohad Allah Chataso Shechata Ba Prat Misasek, where you were aware of what you were doing as opposed to Misasek. So that's one possible makor. The Gemara cites an additional makor, and the relation between these two makoros is a source of much discussion in Rishon Acharonim. Why you would need the both, what they're both there for. But the second source of my site is with regard to Shabbos. Misasek b'Shabbos, malachas b'Shabbos, asur Torah. And again, the sugya does not really explain what the relationship is here. It would seem to be unnecessary. So that's a major issue. Rashi, I'll just note, Rashi thinks that these are two different opinions. I don't know if you saw Rashi on your testament at all. But leaving that aside, that's the Ptur Misasek. Now, what is Misasek? So here, the classic case that is discussed, for instance, in the Gemara Krisos, is Niskabin Lag Bias Talush, the Bias Mechobar. You have a case of Shabbos where you have an apple, right? And the person intends to take that which is Talush, and therefore that's obviously completely Mutar on Shabbos. It can be Magbiya, an apple on Shabbos. But he takes, instead, a Mechobar, and that is Kotze. Right? So he is Oker in Mikidilo. He does an act of Ksira. He intended to be Magbiya, and Skabin Lagbiya as a Talish, the Gbiya as a Mechubah. So that's where we say that's Misasek. That's Padr Mishub Misasek. Now, there happens to be a focus Rashi and Tosos about precisely just what that case is. You guys saw? Right, Rashi thinks that the case here is specifically limited to where there was a physical error, an accident, where my body did one thing and I had intended for doing another. So I have two apples, one of which is Mechubar, one of which is Talush. what I had in mind to be doing was take the apple on the right side, and just what my body ended up doing was taking the apple on the left side. All right, it's like, you know, you reach for the safer, you go back to your Malkum, and you took the safer next to the one that you intended. But that's it. Tosfos is more expansive. Tosfos disagrees and thinks that that's Lav Dafka that case too, but Lav Dafka that case, even in a case where I did exactly as I planned physically, my body obeyed my mind's commands, carried them out to perfection, I just misidentified the apple. I misidentified what it was. So it was nisgabin l'hagbi as ha'kalush bin nimtzeis mechuberes. And it turns out that it was mechuber, yeah?
What distinguishes that from
Tobit? Oh, so that's exactly what I was about to get to. So the question, exactly as Aryeh points out, is that, you know, for Rashi, that would be shogig. That's classic shogig. The dividing line between misasik and shogig is clear for Rashi. Misasik involves a physical mess-up. I didn't do exactly what I was supposed to do. It was supposed to shogig where I do what I wanted to do. I didn't realize it was usur. That's why it's shogig. For Tosfos, that's exactly the question to ask, which is, what is the distinction between shogig, where you tended to do the thing that you did, you didn't realize doing it was usur, and in this case, which that seems to be a perfect description of what you've done, you intended to take this apple, didn't realize it was an isur. Why isn't that just shogig? So here the Tosfos themselves increases. I think I had that on the pros, right?
We thought that Tosfos was arguing on the Tosfos.
Was Tosfos arguing on Tosfos?
Yeah.
You mean like the next Yom Masko?
No, Tosfos that says Nimtza is in Sanhedrin.
Also here, I think. Too much for Rashi and Tzarech Lomar, the Ola B'yodah Mechubar. Also, Atzma Shin Eskabin, though. The Chadach Mechubar Acher, Amai Nakat Eskabin, and Tolish, Rafilin Eskabin, Mechubar Pater. Oh, so Tosfos thinks it, that's Bechal. The
Tacosus.
The Allah be Yad Mechubar. Also Atma. Either way, the question they raise, though, is this issue. And they raise it in the context of Peshitas Rava. Right, there is a focus in the Gemara of an Abaye. What if I mean to cut a stem from what I assumed was not connected to the ground? Right? According to Abaye, once you're misgiving the Chaticha, so then you're not misasik anymore. Because either way, you meant to do an act of chatikah, and that's what you did. It's just, it turns out that it was the chatikah that was usur. Whereas Rava holds, you're going to be putter in that case, because on skavim the chatikah di sur. Right? You meant to do an act of cutting a stem which was not connected, you ended up cutting one which was connected, inasmuch as you were miskabing chatikah, you know, that was muteris, the halo ichvan the chatikah di sur, that's also misasik. So on that, Tosfos asks this question. So for Rashi, it's not a question. For Rashi, it's not simply that I didn't miskaven iser. My body didn't do what I wanted it to do, right? Meaning I didn't miskaven to be mechotech this stem, which was mutter. And I ended up physically having a mishap and being chotech the other thing. That's not shogi. Shogi is where you do what you intended to do. Tosfos, though, precisely because they disagree with Rashi about this question, and think that even the nimtzeis, if it turns out it was mechubar, you misidentified it, Tosfos feels the pressure to answer the question. They feel it specifically in the context of Rava, which I think is a relevant point, and I'll come back to it. But they say something which is very hard to wrap your head around. So, what does that mean? It sounds like what Tosfos is saying. Is what's the answer to your question, Aryeh? What is the difference between shogeng and...
Quickly, I'm not sure I understand it.
Tosfos is saying, it sounds like. Shogeg, that's when it's omer mutter. Toeh, bedin, that's shogeg. So I did exactly what I thought I was doing. All conditions, mitzias-wise, I was correct in assessing. But it turns out that what I thought was mutter is actually... I just didn't know the din. That's shogeg. Whereas, etaz mitzius is misasi.
So
that is extremely difficult because there are cases that are explicitly not that, that are shogeg. The Mishnah is in Klal Gadol. So you got a person who is toeh, is shogeg shayom shabbos. That's a classic case of shogeg. Right? That's a case of l'chor being toeh mitzius. He thought today was Sunday, not shabbos. Right? Seems to be pretty clearly a case of Talos Mitzius, and also pretty clearly the Mishnah says that it's Shogig. Lechora, the answer to this question is simple. I happen to think it's sayable within Tosos, but it's not the simple stuff. The simple strat is Tosos saying it's limited Omer Mutter. But the crucial question is, what is the significance of the detail which I've misidentified? If I take a knife and wave my hand, the detail of what it is that you're cutting makes an enormous difference, not just in terms of Aser Mutter, but also just what are you engaging. If I have a cow there and I swing my knife, that's Shechita. If I have a person there, that's Ritzicha. If I have wheat stalks, that's Sira. So where the detail in the Metzias that you've misidentified changes the nature as a central component of just defining what it is you're engaged in, that's Misasek. Where the detail is not significant in the sense that it transforms the basic nature of what you've engaged in, what pa'ula, what act that we identify you as having committed, that would be shogeg. So if I misidentify, you know, the stem, cutting a stem which is kolosh is an act of simply cutting. Cutting a stem which is mechubar is ksira. I had no intent to be doing an act of ksira. Then that's misasik. Shogeg is where I did an act of ksira, but for whatever reason I thought it would be mutter, whether or not that's a talus mitzius. For instance, I didn't realize today was Shabbos. Okay, but you thought you were doing ksira. You just didn't realize that the mitzius was such that it would be usher. Or is it talus mitzius? It could be omer mutter too. Right? But the concept of misasik is that I had no awareness that I was engaged in the act, in the kind of act I was doing at all. Not just that what I was doing was mutter or usher, but that I was engaged in that act at all. Yeah.
Can you say being taught in Metzius and like just knowing the din, if it's mutter or not, isn't going to be like one and the same? Isn't they, like, they're very close.
One answers the question, what are you doing? And then the other one answers the question, is that thing mutter or us? Those are two different things, right? So the talus medin is where you answer the second question incorrectly. The talus Metzius is where you answer the first question incorrectly. You said you're doing this, but if you actually look at Metzius, you're not. That's not what happened. Right? You say you're doing Sira B'Yom Rishon. That's in Talos B'Metzias. Everybody agrees that Ksira B'Yom Rishon is Mutter. So you're right on the din, but that's not what you were doing. So you misidentified, in this case, the day. And that misidentification changes it from Mutter Aser, but the point is it doesn't change the nature of the act. It's still an act of Ksira either way. Where Misasik comes in, what Misasik figures in for the Tosos at least, is where that detail does change the nature of the act. If this is a paper machete head and not a person, so that's not Ratzicha anymore. Right, if these are just stalks that are just, you know, leaning on something else, and I'm coming to grab them, that's hagbah. That's not sira. And even if I intend to be cutting them, that's just cutting. You know, you're just cutting, not harvesting. The basic essential classification of what it is that you were engaged in, the pa'ula, the act that you were engaged in, if the mitzvah's mistake that you made changes that, that's misasik. And the idea is you had no intent to be engaged in this kind of act at all. Not that you didn't know intent to engage in an act which is usher. That itself would just be shogeg. You had no intent to be engaged in this in an act of ksira. Then that's usher. Okay. Sorry. Okay, either way, that's the Ptur Misasik. And what you can argue, coming back to Arsika, to answer the question, why is this not a case of a river shogeg? So the answer is because it's not shogeg, it's misasik. I have no awareness that I am now possessing chametz. Right? I'm not aware that I'm possessing chametz. So that's the case, not of shogeg, but of misasik. Granted, you're eating, you're doing the act that's usher. Let's say you're ochel chaleb. But here we have misasik, and I know it's true that misasik mechalas marayos is chayav because she kanana, but it's just a mashal. So let's say this is you're eating chayav without any hanaf, right?
Do you think it's possible mechalik between toev and mitzias and chaser das and mitzias?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, you think there's a difference between I think this is A and it's really B, as opposed to like you were just unaware that the chametz in your house exists bechal.
Question is that significant enough? For
I just always conceptualize the concept of misasik to be like a mistake, like an error. This isn't really.
I don't know. It's an error. It's more that you're not at all simply aware. I mean, a classic case of misasik, I think, is the case of I gave you guys a Baba Kama of Ev Munachas Lebecheko, and you get up and it shoots forth. the Ebbet. You're not intending, you're not aware you're doing an act of Zerika. Turns out you were. You thought you were just getting up. Turns out you're doing Zerika. I don't know. Meaning it's. I think it's something similar. I mean, are you just not aware that you have that, and therefore, here the issue is, you're not aware that you have that, therefore you're just not aware that you're possessing anything. But the point is, it's not shogeg, that's misasik. You're not engaged in an act of, let's say, in a state of possession, but you just, for one reason or the other, didn't think you were violating an isser, or were not aware that you're violating an isser, you're not aware that you're doing the act at all of possessing. Right? So therefore, isn't that misasik, one could argue. Both the Mekor Chaim and Rikuv Eger basically anticipate this defense, this explanation of where the, you know, where we could disagree with the Rush. In fact, they seem to acknowledge that it's so compelling it's required to answer. Both of them raise this point, right? The Nesivos in Mekor Chaim, he is commenting on the Shitas HaPoskim that without Bittul, you would need Bediga Min HaTorah. You're not able to simply get rid of the Chametz that you know about Min HaTorah. You actually have to look around. The Nesivos notes that assumes a couple of things. One, it assumes something about the requirement to avoid Yisurim and what that imposes upon you. And here he uses the classic example of something being Musa B'talam, something which requires you to check beforehand. So the Nesivos says that they have to be assuming that, but they also obviously have to be assuming that the situation that the Bediga is meant to remedy or to prevent is one in which there's an Avera by Rali Ba'amatz and Minatar. But the steps that you need to take to avoid can only be midoraisa if the thing that you're trying to avoid is itself a problem in a Torah. The Torah can't require you to prevent something which is not a problem in a Torah, right? So it must be that the situation that Bediga is intended to prevent or preclude will be something that would violate Min HaTorah, and thus he points out that they are assuming that if you are unaware of chametz, you still can violate against at least Rashi and Tosos. And according to the Rashi, possibly Rin David Aran, but at the very least against Rashi and Tosos, who held that chametz ain't idulo, so you're not involved in any avera. Right? If you hold that, so then it can't possibly be that Min HaTorah you were required to go and search for it. Why would I be required to do that in the Torah? There's no violation in the Torah, even if I have chametz. So it can't be that the Torah would require me to try to avoid a situation when the Torah itself does not actually forbid. Right? As opposed to the Rush, right? Now, this works very well with the Rush, that there is an aver of shogeg. There's an isser here that you'd be committing deraisa, and then plug in the analogy to Dabar HaMosa B'Talayim, you might have a chiyuv b'diga in the Torah, but the presumption is that that's correct, that there's an aver here. Now, in this context, Kasha Deres is, isn't this a case of misasik? Meaning, you're saying that this is like Ochel B'Shogeg, Magen Avraham / Rush, this formulation, right? It's equivalent of a Nachilo, you did the act of a Avera B'Shogeg, but it's not B'Shogeg here, it's misasik. That's essentially what they're asking, and then they both respond to that. So, anybody have a Mekor Chaim here? This is Or Chaim.
See?
Nira?
No,
yeah, you good.
When he gives, like, an answer?
Right, the Mekor Chaim writes, Rabbi Adeya Shah, I'll just read. Rabbi Adeya Shah, Harvey Poskim, Svirlu, the Bedika, the Lobitol, the Raisa, the Tamam Nure, the Svirlai, the Dami, Lahad Mavor, the Ardea, Sime Pedalich, the Perish, the Darfan, the Lia, the Mkhubar, the Sarfa, the Raisa, the Kimish, the Matsoi, the Hakinami, the Bedika, the Chametz, right, if the Chametz is Matsoi, Lios, in a place that you're not necessarily aware of, so then you would have a chida right. So it says, "V'sover gan kein dik sheish chametz ba'is achla yadabo dami la'ochal chela b'shogeg k'mosh pesach magen Avraham." In the times of the tour in the rush, etc. Once a cause of a rush, etc. V'kemen im yesh chametz avi disura ba'i b'dik k'deish loyase is a b'shogeg. Okay. Then he says, "V'ein lahakshos." This is now what you could argue. I'm saying Tosfos and Rashi would say, right? "V'ein lahakshos ah magen Avraham dimedama osav la'ochal chela b'shogeg." Ha bechel gufe lo nigger shogeg rak shemchavin lachila, aber kishen mechavin lachila klal kigon kasavu roku balal lo nigger shogeg rak misasik. Right, and we call makom chayev bechel mitam the misasik bechel maraz chayev genena, but it wouldn't be regular right. Bishari surim shenir nena padim misasik. Right, and kosh king kishen mechavin klal the mutter rafilu beefshav lo mechavin etc. So guys, we'll get to. Among us, right? So that's essentially what you could argue in Echinami. That's exactly what Rashi tells us. They think this is a case of misasik. You're not aware that what you're doing is possessing chametz. So in Echinami, you're possessing chametz, and that is what the Torah forbids here, but we have a klal of misasik, that when one is not aware that he's engaged in a certain kind of pu'ula, which happens to be that which the Torah forbade, but if you're not aware that you've engaged in that kind of act at all, right, so then you're going to be put. So his answer, the Nesivos here's answer is, don't ask this question, why not? Then I was like, what would you answer for the rush? Why is this not Masasik? Why are you saying it's like Shogeg? So his answer is, Nireh, the Dafka B'davar Sh'asra HaTorah, La'asos Maisa. B'zeh Armini Lo Asra HaTorah, La'asos HaMaisa, Rak V'chavana, B'davar Sh'im Skavim, Aval Fakish Asra HaTorah, B'davar Sh'im B'maisa, Kigon Hafa Sh'asra HaTorah, Sh'loi Yacham Et V'esa, Afilu K'sh'im Skavim, Asra. So he comes up with a distinction. He says, Misasik is only relevant to a prohibition where the Davar Shemuzar love is an act. But where the Davar Shemuzar love is what I would call a state, having a certain mitzvah be true, that you're responsible for, right? You know, there's a state that you're responsible to ensure it isn't the case, doesn't happen. If it happens, so there's no Misasik, isn't relevant. Why would this be? Ricky Vager says that that's not a compelling distinction. Why should that matter? So I think the simplest way to explain this is that the nature of Pur Misasik, there's a basic question you can ask about Pur Misasik, which is, do we understand that Misasik is sort of a shogeg plus? You're blamed even less with regard to Misasik. So it's a Maisa Avera that you did, but the din is that when you're not aware that you've engaged in not just the fact you were engaged in Isra, but even in the Pu'ula that happens to be prohibited, but you're not even aware that you're doing it, so we're going to say in that case that you're even held less guilty. It's a less severe violation than even shogeg, and therefore you're going to be pater michatas, right? Or, no, or perhaps the din of misasik is not the tour for a maisa vera, it's a non-maisa vera b'chlal. I mean, it's not even non-maisa vera, it's a non-maisa. This is not an act. It's not a maisa adam. Misasik is something which your body is involved with. But you as an agent, as a legal personality, doing things, it is not attributed to you as an agent. Your guf, as a chefza, was involved in this thing. You did not engage. An act, legally speaking, is to exercise agency and will. And if I have no will and be engaged in a pula of tzir, even if my body ends up being kotzer, that's not something which you're in control of and therefore it's attributed to you as an agent. That's something that your body ended up being involved in. Right? It's a hiccup. It's not an act. Right, this is not something which we attribute to you as an author, as an agent exercising his will. This is something that happens that involved your limbs, but not something which we attribute to you as an agent. Yeah.
What's the difference between what he said in Misasik and now in Onus? It's like, isn't it the same thing?
I don't think it's possible in certain cases of Onus to say something like that, but I don't think
it's most cases.
The Tutsdadim?
Yeah, I
think it's possible to say precisely this concept in the case of Onus of certain kinds, like Ulanaris Sadavar, where literally she didn't do anything, something she could do. There, I do think it makes sense to say, you could argue that in cases of Onus where you're physically coerced, what that is of course hamaisa, not even considered to be doing any act. And by the way, I think that is true. But I'm not sure that that's because it's Onus. Typically, Onus is more where, the question is not whether or not you committed the act. You did act. You exercised agency. The question is under what circumstances? Was it volitional or not? It was a willed act. The question is, was it freely willed act? And there's a tour for it's not being a freely willed act. The question then is more not, is this a Maisa Adam or not, but is it a Maisa Avera? Do we attribute the Avera Shabbat to you? In other words, you engage in the Pula here. The intended question is, do we say that you violated an Avera? I would say that it's not so much an attribution of the act, more of a question of just assigning you a violation of the Isser or not. So you might say it's maftia de avera, you didn't violate anything here because the Torah only considers to be an avera that which you do volitionally. But if you didn't do an act volitionally, meaning you did it under compulsion, but you did it under compulsion, so that's not an avera at all. You don't violate it in such a situation. It's not a hafkas of maisa. I know one thing is saying you legally are not considered to be authoring this act. There's another thing to be saying that this is not a freely willed act, and therefore it's b'chlal not something that you violated with. Right? Follow what I'm saying or no? This idea that your body's involved as a chefza, which is what I'm saying might be what's going on with Tasek, that idea has applications elsewhere. it's brought up in the concept of the Sefer regarding Kosei B'Shabbos, where the Sefer says that if I take your hand as you're grasping a pencil and I move the hand to write, you're Pater Nafai. I'm the one who's being Kosei, not you. Your hand is physically involved in what's going on here, but it's not you as an agent, that's me as an agent. Actually, this is also something which comes up in the Chaim's Kibur. The first Chaim, the Tosfos had argued that there's a chiluk in terms of the Gimel of Eretz Yavor, that there's no Yari Yavor for Sheva Taisa. One of the riyas is to ask, you know, something which is absurd, would you say that a person who's told either you allow us to kill you, or we throw you onto this person? Right? If you don't give us any trouble, we're just going to throw you onto this other person. Yet. Would you say that he's mechuyev to say kill me? So Tosfos thought there was a different question, which I think most people do, that you would not be mechuyev to do such a thing, and therefore they said it. The difference is that they're sheva taisa. Right? You're doing something passively. Passive doesn't require it. The Rambam doesn't mention sheva taisa as a chiluk, and Rav Chaim assumed that he wouldn't disagree. It happens to be the Chazon Ish or correctly, and go Yonos Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim. Says, well, how do we know? Maybe that case is chayev. You are chayev in source nashka. You have to insist on getting killed rather than being thrown into the Davy. But Rav Chaim assumed that wasn't the case, and the question became: there's no chiluk, there's no principle that sheva taisa shani. So why, in this case, is it true that you wouldn't have to be moser nefesh? And Rav Chaim's answer to that is, because what you're doing in that case is not ritzicha b'sheva taisa. It's a non-ritzicha. You're not involved in that as an agent at all. You're a garzan b'yadachotziko. You're just the tool and implement. Your body's a tool and an implement for somebody else's act. That's the ritzicha of that guy, not of you. You haven't been using your body. But you as an agent are not involved in ritzicha klal. It's not sheva taisa ritzicha. It's a non-ritzicha. I'm not being involved in... I'm not doing anything at all. My body is being used... imagine I'm lifeless, you know, just an inanimate object. My body is involved as a chepza, but not as, you know, my personality as a gavar. I'm not an osa as gavar here. So that's something like, that's not misazik either, because there it's not that you're not aware, it's just that you're not actually doing anything. But in the same principle, I'm saying it's possible for misazik, but in onis in general, forgetting the specific case of olanash sasadavar, let's say I say, you know, either you eat treif or I'm going to shoot you in the head. There is not that you're eating treif is not an act of eating. It's not that you didn't do an act of pulas achila. You did a pulas achila. The question is, to what extent we consider that act of pulas achila a violation? In other words, we say you violated, but we don't blame you that much. But you did, in fact, violate the isser. Or we say, no, it's bechal not considered an avera, not because it's not a maisa adam. You did. But that a maisa adam is only held against you as an avera if it was freely ruled. Again, I think in the end, probably the case of Lanaris of Sadavar would be a little bit different, because there she actually didn't do anything. She literally didn't do anything in the case of Onis. She was just there. But in it's clear, obviously, that we don't just limit it to cases of Onis like that. Onis is something which we say, where I'm forced to do something, but I end up doing it. So that wouldn't be something which you would say, about what you would say, that's Bechal not a Pu'ulas Adam at all. You would just say that it's not a pu'ula which the Torah considers a violation. Right? You follow the nafkamina, the difference there? So there's a similarity in terms of it's not just simply being a tour, like shogeg, just better. But what it is different. In the case of misasek, you yourself were not involved. Your body was involved. But, you know, you as an illegal agent didn't do anything. Not just that didn't do the isser, you actually didn't do anything. You didn't do an act of sira. Sira had been done sort of, you know, involving your limbs, but it's not something that you as an agent did. In Onis, you wouldn't say that. Right? There's no Hafgasa Maisa in the case of Onis. There's just a Hafgasa Isser, I think, is the way I would put it. So just to clarify, right? So that if that's how you understand this Asik, so then you can understand very well why you might find compelling the Mekor Chaim's distinction. This Asik is only relevant for an Isser Sheish Maisa. Why? Because it's not a Patur, like Shogi Plus. It's also not a Hafgasa Isser, right, like Onis. It's simply a Hafgasa Maisa. The act is just not attributed to as an agent. I would say this. It's not really primarily a din in Averos. It's a din in just classifying that Mitzius has a person done an act. Now, if the act is an act of Isser, that'll have Nafkaminas for it. So then Ms. Asik is a Patur. Like I made that, but it doesn't start as a tour. It starts as simply an assignment. Is this person, legally speaking, classified as doing an act or not? But it can have nothing to mean as, outside that. In fact, that's a big, that's a very big question. What do we say about misasik and mitzvahs? The sugya actually in Rosh Hashanah mentions it. All right, I don't want to get into it now, but the point is that it could very well be something which is relevant for numerous situations. Essentially, you might ask, any time you have a din of somebody doing something, either it's a mitzvah or it just has certain consequences, misasik is always going to be potentially relevant because it's not really a din in usur or mutter, and whether or not you violated or didn't violate, the question is, did you do this act or didn't you do this act? So misasik could, in theory, then be applying elsewhere as well. Anyway, but the point is that, and therefore, says the Nesivos, the Makor HaChayim, it's not irrelevant. When we're dealing with an Isser which doesn't involve a Ke'ula, which doesn't involve a Maisa, Misasik is simply an irrelevant category. It's not a Ptur HaIsser, it's not a Mafkiya Isser, it's not a Ptur Isser, it's none of those. It's simply a non-Maisa. If I apply Misasik, what I'm saying is this was not an act that we consider to be executed by you. Good. So you don't consider me to have done anything, but I don't need to do anything to be over an Isser of by your bike matzah, I simply need to possess, to have the chametz. The state of me owning chametz is what violates. And if that's true, so misasik is irrelevant. So that's the Nesivos' answer to this. Rukivager, you have a Rukivager? He rejects this answer, he gives a different one. What
does
he say?
Well,
first, what were we said?
Okay,
very easily, did he? Right? By the way, again, that's my point, is that that could well be the position of Tosfos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what he says is, I don't think that's true. That's not a call regarding misasik. Rather, this is not a good answer because what he says. Because it's called an avera. You are considered to be osa the maisa. You're just not something we blame you for. But it is an avera. It's something like a super shogi. Yeah.
No.
So that's what Eger suggests. And you then understand why he did not find the Nesivos' answer compelling. Because if it's a din be'avera, that he bears even less blame than a shogeg din. So what's the difference if it's maisa, ema maisa? Right? That doesn't make so much sense. His own answer then to the question, however, regarding chametz is, the reason it's not a good deflection of the rush, because it's not true that there's no avera of it misasek. Enechinami, in other words, it sounds like what he's saying is, enechinami, it is misasek. But misasik is still an aver. Right? By the way, he has other nafkaminas for this point. The starting point in that tshuva was the question, if I see somebody's about to be doing something misasik, do I have to prevent, should I be mafreshim or not? Right? So let's say I see a person's about to walk into the light, he doesn't realize he's about to hit the light. Am I mafuya bidin to try to prevent him from doing so? So that's the nafkamina. Two perspectives, if misasik is not an aver at all, alright, it's a non-Isa'adim, so you probably don't have to do so. You're not engaged in it either way. But if you think that Misasik is an Avera, just that your Pater, we would say, be Mafresh. He himself there is Mechalik between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. He thinks that maybe that's the idea, that you have the two Makaros, maybe you need both of them, and the difference is that on Shabbos, it's Bechal Nara Maisa Avera. As long as on Shabbos is a Torah, so this is Bechal Nara Maisa Avera. And therefore, if you see somebody walking in the lights on Shabbos, maybe in fact you don't have to be Mafresh, but if you see somebody, about to be engaged in, an act of achilo, if he thinks that it's upper balma or whatever, and it's not, and it's pigul, I don't know, make it up. You would be mechuyah to Mafresh. But in any event, the point is, says Mr. Vager, that the rush will say to this that this is misasik, but it's still not a good answer to the question. What?
He's still doing avera.
Because he's still doing an avera, and therefore, it's still shayach to require bedika. Whether Midiraisa is there talking about or Midirabanan, the point is that that the situation of Chamei She'eni Yadu Alcha is still going to be considered an Aver. Right, so basically, just to sum up, so basically what emerges is there's a very strong argument to be made that Enachinami, there's Achilos Chela here, the Hainu and Hanami that what was prohibited by Bahir by Matzik is having chametz, and you've done that here in the case of chametz Shehidua. The reason you disagree with the Rush and you think that this is not something that constitutes an avera is because you have a Ptur Misasik. The assumption being, A, this case falls under the category of Misasik, and B, that Misasik is a non-avera. Right? And both of those can be questioned according to the Sivos. The first point isn't true, namely that in this case it's not Misasik. Misasik is just something that has to do with Pu'ulos. If you engage in an act without being aware of it, so we don't attribute that act to you. But that's not something that then is a relevant category at all. You couldn't describe this case as one being Misasik. You have chametz. You don't need to engage in that, and therefore it's just not a relevant category. And the Pirkei Avot dissents on the other point, namely thinks that even if it is Misasik, let's say Misasik doesn't necessarily require specifically a pu'ula, but even just the state could be Misasik because you're not aware of it. Nonetheless, it's not a mafkia de aver. You still engage in an act which violates, or a state which violates. So therefore, it's still not shy off the say you don't violate. Okay? The last possibility I'll mention, I'll just say very briefly because I don't want to get too much into it. Basically, I give you a couple of quotes that could be basis for a more radical suggestion than these, which is perhaps the notion that when it comes to Chayim Malkios, intent is a necessary feature not only for becoming Chayiv the Onish, but even for being defined as an Oga. That's a radical thesis. Nonetheless, one which has some roots, or echoes, I should say. In Rishonim, the Ramban stands for suggesting essentially something like this regarding why there's no kapara necessary for Averos Chayiv Ole Makos. Basically, he wonders, you know, how did Chazal know that these olos that are being brought, you know, they're mechaper on Bitla Seis, B'mezid. Why didn't we assume that olos are the shogig kapara for Averos Shechayim Alein Malkos? Right, instead of saying that this is for B'mezid violations of Aseis, why not just say, well, the, you know, these are for shogig for Lavin, for Chayiv Lavin? And his answer is, fascinating, what he suggests is, that Chazal assumed from the fact that the Torah does describe what you have to bring for a Haver B'Shogeg B'Chayiv Krisos Mizbezin, but does not say such a thing, anything regarding Chayiv Malkios, that it's not just that you're not Chayiv, but in fact there's no need to beget Kapara. There's ain't shum to see a fake plot. That a B'Shogeg B'Chayiv Malkios is just not an Haver at all, and therefore it's not shy to say that there's something to get Kapara for. Ain't shum to see a fake plot, and therefore it wouldn't make sense to say you need kapara. There couldn't be kapara for an avera la v'shogeg. It sounds like what he's saying, that in order to be considered an over for chayiv malkios, you need to have kavana la, which is a tremendous chiddush. But that's what it sounds like he said. Everybody follow that?
Yep.
Now the Ron, I don't know intentionally, but the Ron essentially echoes this line. I don't know if you saw it. And he thinks that's possibly what the Gemara has in mind when it says Shigyu Aslav. It speaks of Shigyu Aslav in the context of the Sugya and Sanhedrin about having somebody remove a thorn that's stuck in his leg, which involves causing you to bleed. So the Gemara says that you should have somebody else do it, that's fine, even though there's a Lav Yosef, but this is Shigyu Aslav. So there's different discussions about what that means, but the Ron himself suggests this is a different category, a new category, and it's based on the idea that Shigyu Aslav itself is actually with it. That if you have something which you've done to show gig, so you don't actually violate the Isser at all. And he echoes the language of the Ramban about ancient Messiah's faith, if I recall correctly. Correct? You have that? See, the Ramban's energy paid on with it. This is a radical idea, and I don't know how serious to take it. I think it is possible, by the way, that it's something which is relevant, and this is, I kind of gave you a hint, is it could be a relevant point regarding Devashim Miskavi. Because the question of Dover Shemesh Kavim is going to be, and you have a head here, right? I mean, you're possibly being over an issue. Doesn't at least subject the right such in that?
I don't see, you want those words.
Well, how about before?
Right. Yeah, I think that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, to me is you know, saying I've read the Ramah Altar. And basically that Shigaslav is mutter and Echinam. Shigaslav is mutter because there's no onish that the Torah tells us about it. If there were something like Chayve Chetos and Chayve Mitzvah Bezin where Shogeg Ikrachote, it would then have had a
a punishment or a kapara. But it doesn't. Kamashalan, she goes out with him. So if you say that, so then that could also be a reason to disagree with the Rush.
And if Hinami, this is Achilos Chelev B'Shogeg, but it's not true that you're violating, because Achilos Chelev is one of the Chamuros. But for Kalos, for Chave Lavin, Chave Malkios, there is no such concept. Shogeg Yuchatkote is limited to Chave Misus Akrusus. The concept of Shogeg Yuchatkote essentially does not exist regarding Chave Lavin. Again, that's like the nuclear option. That's a shot. It's one that has certain echoes in Rishonim. But if you accept it, then that would answer the question here of why this is not a good comparison and why this is not a case of an avera b'shogeg. Okay, Arkan, the direction of saying that you know, in Achinami, you have something which is achilas chelev here, you did the thing which the Torah prohibits, but you're still not over. So we discussed three possibilities: one, because it's honest; two, because it's asik; three, because of a shigas lava idea. The other direction to go, however, is to say that there's no achilas chelev here. There's no equivalent achilas chelev, because here you haven't actually done what the Torah prohibits. In other words, Bayer Bayi Matzah does not forbid simply owning, possessing chametz. That's where we disagree. That's not what Bayer Bayi Matzah forbids. I think it's pretty clearly this is what Tosas here on our daf has in mind. It doesn't sound like they're saying that we have a klal, and because of it, because of anus, because of nisasek, or because it's a shigus lav, so then there's no avera here at all. They don't say that. They say, what's your explanation for this? So it's clear that what they're saying is that the law does not prohibit this situation, this case. What it prohibits is something else. What is that something else? So here, I think one possible elaboration is something you find expressed in the Rina David, namely that essentially what the Torah here prohibits is not owning chametz or possessing chametz or anything like that. It's rather your relationship to the chametz. It's being part of your psychological existential orbit. That's what the Torah prohibits. The Torah prohibits you to be, to use the language of Rishon HaShanah, to use rotivik yuma, to be interested in it, to be invested in it. That's what the Torah prohibits. Now, if I don't know of it, then that's not what violates. Now, the idea that what you're prohibited to do is not really necessarily just simply the state of owning it or possessing it, but rather being engaged with it, being rotivik yuma, having a part of your orbit, that's something which you're going to dub it explicitly. The Ramban is...
Would it make sense just to say that in the Torah, lo yira, don't say lo yimatze, right?
No, lo yira, then you can say, okay, what if I'm matmi?
Oh, what if I hide it?
That's exactly the point.
Also, the other way, it says lo
yira. Yeah, you know, that question, I don't know, is actually raised. Why does the Torah say lo yira, lo yimatze, not just say, if you think that that's all it us is?
The fact of the purpose is the question. What you own. No?
What?
The fact of the purview essentially becomes like what you own.
That's what I think the standard view is that in the end what emerges is that the Torah says don't have chametz. Don't have it.
So yeah, so
but I think
the phrase is lawyer, that's the one's credence to everything it doesn't say.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. In other words, that it's trying to get at something which isn't just bailus or even what would have been bailus had not been that the Torah was motzi reshuspa, but something else. So the Rina David thinks that this is the central point of Bittul. And he actually brings essentially what I view as a raya, that it isn't just owning chametz or possessing chametz. His raya, that's not what the Torah here has in mind, is that anyway, you don't, right? Now this, I think, could have been answered in different ways, but this was his raya, that it's not owning chametz that answers, but something else. And does anybody have it here? The, he says...
Yeah.
So he says, now Bittul who? This is just his explanation. What is Bittul? So basically, they're showing him all questions. How does Bittul work? It works from your eyes. How does it work? Bittul Bama Sagi, Gemara says. So here, yeah, Rashi says it's Hashbisu. Not so clear what that means. Tosos think it's just, it's like Hefker. It's not Shalcha anymore, and therefore you're not going to be over because Shalcha Atarev, Atarev Shalchem, Shalgaboa. And here, the Ramban has several lines that point in different directions, but the Rina David reflects one of those directions and really just quite consistent about it. So that's why I gave you him. And he says that the idea of Bittul here is, how does it work that you don't violate? Habittul hu shelo yeh daito al chametz. It's not that you don't own it, but you're not thinking about it. You're not engaged with it psychologically. Shelo yeh daito al chametz. V'tam habittul m'nei shachametz me'elavu yotzim reshusa. Now here I understand you saying, it's not that the Isser is possessing chametz because you don't.
Why not? Because Menesha Chametz Me'elavu Yotzei Mirshuso B'Me'a Pesach She'Hasu, since it's Asar Bana. Koshu Asar Bana Inu Shalav V'Lo Prini B'Lacha. It's a separate thing we'll get to. U'Kishoverelav Eino Ela Chidush D'Ori Shemal She'en B'Rishu Shaladam Basav Kasav Ki'ilu B'Shoso. And the very fact that you violate his Ki'ilu B'Shoso, so you could have said, well, okay, so the Chidush is that we consider in as much as you owned it until the moment in which you became Asar, that's just like you own it. The fact that legally speaking, it actually, let's say you had no violence over it, assuming that's even true, that's a technicality based on the fact that Yotzei Mirshuso, but you're owning it, you're possessing in a way that would, that's the Isser. He doesn't say that. He says instead what the Torah has in mind, something else. Kilu Rishuso, Uvada Me'achar She'en Rishuso Ein Overa, Elab Neimim, once it's not Rishuso anymore, so how is it that you violate? So he doesn't say it's Kilu Rishuso, like the Zer's question, he says Elab Neshi Da'at To'olav. And Cain calls Man She'yomar She'en Da'at To'olav, Lo Nishar Lo Shun Chiyuv. And so he says that the basic idea of Bittul, he suggests, is that Enei Rotze B'Kilu. The Ramban has a line as well that you're, what you're doing with regard to Bittul is basically disassociating yourself from it. That's essentially the nature of Bittul. It's a disassociation with the function. So, again, I'm not getting into a Bittul share here, but this is one view of how Bittul works. But the point is that it reflects what he expresses very clearly. What is, in fact, that which the Torah prohibits, not owning or possessing, it couldn't have been, because anyway, those things don't actually exist once it becomes Asar Bana. What the Torah forbade was me being engaged psychologically, with having be rotze b'kimo, being invested emotionally and psychologically in chametz. That's the problem. This is a yisod that has many, many applications. It potentially explains a number of things in terms of, you know, the issue of tigdanos, of the possibility of shomer being over Bali or Bali Matzeh. Whatever, not going to get into that so much. I mean, especially in particular, maybe I'll just mention briefly, but especially in particular, if you hold, there's a machlokes sharp about this, when the Gemara says that a shomer mekabel mekdonos min ha'achri, if you're five for yourself, so then you're going to be over in Bali or Bali Matzeh. So the Gemara does not specify which shomer we're talking about. There's different degas about this, but the Me'iri, quotes today, that even if just a shomer fina. Now, Shomer Shina is not plausibly considered to be a violent of any kind. It's us or him to use it. And Shomer Shachar as well. Many Shomer think it's either Shoel, or some say it's Shoel and a Socher. But there's a position in the Yuri, no, Ladafka, even a Sachar and a Chinam, who have no bilus whatsoever, they can also violate. Well, why is that? Because it's not bilus which the Torah is forbidding here, it's being engaged psychologically with the Chametz. Another possible manifestation of this, although it's a little bit more complicated, but to the extent that you assume that, let's say, just having chametz, the state of owning chametz is what the Torah forbade, so then, in terms of Shittas Rambam regarding Malkos, that could become somewhat problematic, because this is a question, but it's quite possible that Vichai Malkos, because of a lot of Yesh B'Maisa, is not sufficient to be considered Yesh B'Maisa, it's not sufficient for the person to have done that which led to an Avera, the Avera itself, not just the thing which led to there being a violation, but the thing which violated is itself a Maisa. So in other words, this is a classic case where this comes up. The Gemara says in Torah that whether or not you get Malkus for Losi Shavu Bishmin Nishpacher depends on which kind of Shavu was and what you do. If I'm Nishpacher Lo Ochal, the Ochal, you get Malkus. But if I'm nishbash ochal, if I swear that I'm going to eat and I end up not eating, ein bo makos because ein bo maisa. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So the Rishonim discuss, what about if instead of just not eating, I actually took the kikar, I said nishbash ochal kikar zeh? So not just that I didn't eat, you know, hayom, let's say. I didn't just not eat. Instead, I threw it into the river. So there are some Rishonim, including our body, think that in that case, nishbash ochal kikar zeh, the Zara Liam or the Sarfo, you are going to be Loka, because Yesh B'Maisa. But the Me'iri in Shavuos has the opinion that you're not Loka there either. Because in his formulation, the Avera is Heder Hafila. He actually uses the term. The Avera is the Heder Hafila, which is a non-Maisa. In other words, it's not enough that you guarantee the violation or that you induce the violation, the Avera, via a Maisa. It's not that the Maisa triggers there being an Avera. It has to be that is the Avera. And in the case of Nishbash Ochal, the Avera is Heder Achila, not the neglect of eating, not eating. So it's not enough that I caused or I brought about the not eating by a Maisa. That wouldn't suffice for the purpose of Yeshua Malkus. If you assume the Rambam agrees to that, which I think is very plausible, So, Nishel Tashela, so the Rambam Paskins, right, regarding Chametz, by Rabbi Matzeh, the Rambam Paskins, that you just have Libra Chametz in your house, Embo Makos, because it's Embo Maisa. But a Kona Chametz of Pesach, or a Osa Chametz of Pesach, but if I make Chametz, or if I buy Chametz, you are loaded. So if you assume that what by Rabbi Matzeh prohibits is having Chametz, then you have to take the assumption the Rambam Matzeh wouldn't agree with that in the year. Because what you have then is just you're doing an act which brings about as a tatsa, the state which is aser. The act itself is not the avera. Owning chametz is the avera. Inasmuch as I ended up owning chametz via a maisa, so I'm loge. If you assume Rambam disagrees, wouldn't accept that, right? That in order to be considered a yeshua maisa avera, to be an avera ide maisa, it's not enough that the violation happens as a result of a maisa, but that the violation itself was a maisa. Right? So, if only the chametz is what's forbidden, so then it can't ever get malchus, even if you do it via maaser. Follow what I'm saying? Whereas, if you say, let's say, take this perspective of what the Torah prohibits, that it's being engaged with it, one can make the argument that buying doesn't trigger the avera, it doesn't lead you to the state of which is over. It itself is a form of the avera. Buying is one way to engage yourself with chametz. It's not a trigger for that which was overt. It itself is a form of being engaged with chametz b'shuska. Right? Okay, either way, just leave that aside. But the basic point regarding chametz is something which is the yisod regarding the bayar bayi matzeh. And perhaps this is what exactly the Tosfos has in mind here as well. The fact that you have chametz in yiduacha, it's not that this is honest or misasik, none of that is the case. You're not over in this case because the Torah doesn't prohibit having chametz. It prohibits being engaged with their chametz. And if you don't know it exists, how can you possibly violate it? That's not a violation. Right, so I think Tosfos to be going in this direction. Again, they don't speak of, you know, general kalim. They speak of the fact that this doesn't violate lo yimatzeh. And I think the basic idea would be lo yimatzeh lo yara. These are not meant to convey only. They're meant to convey and be engaged with in some way. And if I don't know the chametz exists, how can that's not matzeh? Right? That, I think, is clearly the direction for Tosfos. Okay. Now come back to our sugya. So come back to our sugya now. So now what we want to do is just track, we've understood Tosfos, but we really want to just give an outline now more of the entire sugya of the Havamin and the Maskana. Each of the Havamin and the Maskana is here. So in our sugya, we have both a Havamina regarding Chaya, that it would be forbidden, right? So Behema could be Muteres to give, but you would have had a Havamina, the Chaya, which is Dargal Atznia, is Aser. And a Maskana is it's Mutter. Then you have a Havamina and a Maskana regarding Behema. You could have had a Havamina, right? That it's Mutter to give it to a Chaya because it'll be Matznia at least. A Behema, which, you know, will be out of the open. No, Kamashma is Mutter. Now we want to go through each of these, and we'll start with the Havamina Maskana, like Abbe Chaya. Question is, what was the Havamina for Chaya? Right, the Gemara says that I could have thought Chaya would be forbidden because Dargal Atznia. So or the answer to this is probably Bayer Bayi Matzeh. The problem is, and then you'll be over on Bayer Bayi Matzeh. Now that works very well for the Shitas Harash and the Tur. That is in fact a problem. If you violate Bayer Bayi Matzeh B'Shogeg, the Chamech Eni Yaduotah. And that worked well for them. But what would you say for the Rishonim that think that you do not violate the Chamech Eni Yaduotah? I mean, what's that mean here? They're addressing the Maskana. The Tosfos starts with the Maskana. The Maskana, not the, just the Maskana, but actually the next stage, where the Gemara says, Chaya be mutter because Dargal Atznia and you don't know about it. Well, what was the Havamina then in the Gemara that would be a reason to think that it would be forbidden? You're not over by your Bayi Matzeh with this. That they don't address. But L'chora, either you could say, yeah, that was only the Maskana of Gemara that we realized that. And the Havamina there was, you know, the Kamash Malach Mutter was, you're wrong in the basic premise. You think that if Dargal Atznia and he's Matznia, this Chametz, that means they're going to be violating Bayer Bayi Matzeh, Kamash Malan. Mutter, what's the Kamash Malan? You don't violate the Isser. Whether you don't violate the Isser because we have a klal of Anas, Masasik, whatever, or because that's not considered Matzuids, you're not Rotsuvi Kimo, that's a Kamash Malan. That's possible. Is there an alternative? What do you think? I think it's possible that there could be an alternative. Perhaps the Havina in that first stage, right, that the dark Alexia, maybe the Havamina would have been, even knowing that what we said on that above, even knowing that Kabbalistic Yulafah, you're not going to violate. This case we could have thought was us.
People address that possibility. Rishon addressed that possibility.
What, who?
That giving it to a Chaya is like, it's Kibu, not Lachobol Fanecha.
It's not what?
Giving it to the Chaya makes it like Kibu, not Lachobol Fanecha, and therefore you have a Chaya of Lib Dil Kachara.
Do you remember who it was?
I feel like it was like
a... Yeah, so was it the Ron or Rabin David?
I believe it was Rabin David.
You know what? I actually think the Ron also maybe. Yeah. So no, that's the other possibility. Is to say that the difference here is you see the chametz now. You're aware of this chametz, and therefore what? And therefore it's considered to be, I would say, chametz shatayadel. You know, it's true that there's absolutely nothing wrong with having chametz that you don't know about, but that can't translate into giving the chametz beforehand because you know about the chametz. So that's not chametz you don't know about, right? You're right, I just think Ron is the one who had that as a Havmina. I gave you guys that Ron, right?
In the Chiddush.
Yeah, the Yikivan Shadarka Latsniya Havalek and Matmin. Sha'ava Bishay Matzah Chametz Vesel Achar Bedika, so he's assuming there was Bedika, and therefore he's in the same boat as Tosfos, meaning against the Rosh. He's assuming what we're doing here with the case where you were Bodek, right? I mean, the person presumably was Mekayim Chobas Bedika. So therefore, he's in the same boat at that point as the Tosfos, that then you're not over on Chametz Sheni Yidulcha. This is nearly Dachim Birushak. They came to Darla, see, have like a mamish. I'll be sheen matzah chametz v'esel achar b'dika in over a lev l'mafreya. Right? Hayinu b'nishar sham shalom yidaita. Hava kishno seno so lifnei chaya shedarcha letzniya. Harihu k'matim. The point is that I am aware of it now, and therefore the Havmina was, even if chametz I don't know about, you don't violate, but this is not chametz you don't know about. Now, I'm not sure, by the way, this, I think there's two ways to take that. Either you could say that because you know of it with certainty now, and you know that it's possible for him to be matzniya afterwards, you can't claim that you're unaware of the chametz. That's one possibility. Or you might say, no, it's dark without Sneha, and therefore you essentially do know. It's not just that you know about it now, you know about it also when it's Matsneha. Not sure exactly how to say, but either way, that's the basic idea. Now, what was the Maskana of this Gemara? So for the Ron,
we thought that like the Maskana of the Gemara only works according to Kamash Malan, once you accept the Kamash Malan the first one. I mean, Kamash Malan, that is not like, not the whole of that. And once you accept that, then the second half of it.
Then you can get the second half.
Then you have a, oh, then you.
But
have,
why was the Havin here, which was, I know about it now, and it, given that Zark Lasnia, I'm aware of the Chametz. If it ends up that I don't know where it is, but still I'm aware of it. So the answer, so here I think you do find two different answers on this question. The Ron himself suggests that what's the basis for the Heter here? Enechinami, if you knew about it, that it was Musna, you would be over. The reason he suggests that that's still okay is because, and we saw, it's not definite that he's going to be Matsniya. Kamashman de lo, the Dilma lo Mishayir of Elimitsna. Now, there's a subic part here is crucial for the Ron in making this defined as Chametz Sheni Yidulcha. Had it been the case that we knew it would be Matsniya, that it always is Matsniya, Nechinami, you would have no Ketur here. It would be not Chametz Sheni Yidulcha. This is Chametz Hayidulcha. But it's because it's only Darcha, but not always, it's Efshar that it's Matsniya, but not definite. So that suffix, that possibility that it won't happen, allows us to consider this to be Eni Yidulcha. This is reminiscent of, I think, something like Davashim Eskabein, or how some understand it, that the fact that it's possible that it doesn't happen is a license to view the intent as not involving that Isser. Now, the way Pesik Reisha works is, if it, yeah, it's automatically happens, then Nemela, having intent for the thing which is, you know, that automatically brings it along, is intent for it. Once it's possible that it doesn't happen, so we don't consider you have Havana for the Yisr. That's one way to view it. Something like that, the Ron, I think, is saying, I'm not saying it's an principle, I'm saying, the fact that I don't know that it will happen enables this to be considered Chametz Sheni Yidulcha. The Tosfos, I gather, sound like they're saying something a little different. And maybe I'm being over-bedaic here, but it sounds like Timitos is saying a little bit different. But in the Matsui, why? Kevan, look what he says. She'en yedua heichan hu. Kevan she'en yedua heichan hu. My take on that is that it's not just in order to violate, you need to know of the chametz, you also need to know where the chametz is. Even if I'm aware that there is chametz, but if I don't know where that chametz is, I don't violate. In other words, the assumption of the Gemara when it had the Havin was that this does not qualify as a case of chametz in Yidulacha because you are Yodei Alav now. And Darcha Latznia. And the answer is not, yeah, but it's only Efshar for him to do that, not definitely, like Iran. The answer is, even if Darcha Latznia, and you therefore know about it, but you don't know where it is. And chametz in Yidulacha, if and who, you don't violate either. Now, just in terms of analyzing this Tosfos, it really boils down to, I think, two premises, two propositions. Number one, if you are aware that it exists, but you don't know where it is, then that doesn't violate. Number two, because that's true, that you don't violate kisha'inu de hechanu, it's mutter to give to the chaya milchachila. I think if we just consider and analyze these two things in light of the nature of why there's no iser b'chamit she'ena yodela, this is a significant fetish, and I'll explain. Let's assume, I think not what the Tosafot say themselves, but let's just take the position that the reason that there's no aveira in the case of chametz she'ena yodela is because of anos, let's say. L'chora, the first point is obvious. The first premise, the first proposition is obvious. Namely, that you don't violate not only if you are unaware of its existence, but even if you are aware, you just don't know where it is. If that's the basis for the ketur, so then it makes abundant sense that if you don't know where it is, you also don't violate, because what are you supposed to do? Nothing I can do about that. I know it exists, I just don't know where. So how has it helped me to say, you know it exists, if the basis for my being pater, or chametz she'ena, is because what else could you do? So then that applies here too. I mean, unless you want me to burn down every single place in the existence, you know, that would violate for me, I don't know where it is. So nothing for me to do. So that's great. Then we're good. What's more challenging then, though, is, and therefore, it's mutter to give it to him, the kachila. Because if the basis for the Torah on us is that you did everything you could do, that's only true once I've given it. But giving it the kachila is the question. That's not the case. How could this be a head of the chatila to give it to the animal? That's not everything you could do. Everything you could do is not give it to the animal to go take it somewhere you don't know. So that is quite a mechudish point. In other words, if we accept the premise that the reason for chametz medulacha not being a problem, a violation, is because it's anus, mahalo lasos. So on the one hand, that makes it very simple to explain, to understand. The fact that Tosfos thinks this is true, not only if you don't know about it, but even if you're aware of the chametz, you just don't know where it is. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What am I supposed to do? It makes it harder, though, to translate that into allowing you to say there's no problem, therefore, with giving the chametz to this animal beforehand. This is a part of a broader question. I gave you some cards at the end there of how do we view actions which predictably lead to situations in which there is going to be an anus. That's a general question. It's part of a broader sugya, not just anus, but other dispensations. So classically, if I focus on regarding, let's say, Pituach Nefesh for Shabbos, is it mutter to do something during the week which will necessitate or very likely lead to my having to do Malacha B'Shabbos and Pituach Nefesh. That familiar? Right. That's famous in Machlokas from Banan and Balmor. Regarding Yotzei Spina of Kodma Shabbos, Balmor thinks it's mutter to be machin satzucha during Chol to a situation which will have to be over mishum pigol nevesh, or not over mishum pigol nevesh, you have to be doing malacha mishum pigol nevesh, whereas Ramban thinks it's forbidden for you to do so. So that basic issue becomes something which is relevant not only for pigol nevesh or Shabbos, but also for anus. Am I permitted to simply let the chips fall where they may? You know, given now I'm in control of the situation, can I do something which will eventually, likely, let's say, even end up becoming a situation of anus for me? So that's a question I gave you a couple of chorus on in Baba Kama. That's certainly what they discussed. The Tosar Ben Perek, the Chadish of Adam Amazik, he thinks that the reason you'd be chayav, this is related to the Machlokas for Sharon regarding Chiyuv Adam Beonsim. So Bali Tosfos in general thought that that Chiyuv is lav dafka, the kol onsim for olam. It doesn't apply to onsim which are actually enough to be qualified for onis darfana patra. It only applies to onsim like the Neva Gaveda level onsim. On his gum, are you still pater for? So why are you chayav if you're blown off the roof? You know, there's a hurricane that comes and takes you and slams you into somebody else's car. Why are you chayav in that case? So Rabbeinu Peretz's answer was, because chayav la la la. You didn't have to put yourself in that situation. So that sort of question emerges. And as I say, it's not a different question at all, that given that once the animal's matsnia, you then are in a situation of honesty and you can't do anything about it, that we should say that therefore it's mutter to give it. But that's just one point. If we take on the view, the second view, that the Tosas themselves adopt, this is not much of the chaz. It's not that it's honest, it's just not, it's not what is prohibited. So then I think that the first point also is a finish, meaning there is an incremental finish here in saying that it's not just if you're not aware of the chametz, but even if you are aware, you just don't know exactly where it is. Because after all, you are aware of it, and therefore one could have said, "Dai to Allah," right? Rotsi b'kiyumo. I don't know where it is at the moment, but I'm thinking about it, I hope it's okay. Right? So if I know of its existence, even if I don't know where exactly I can find it, so this maskana then is a little bit more makudish. Again, Tosas maskana was not that we consider that you don't know about it. You know about it, but you don't know where it is. It's also the same tour. If the tour is mishum she inze matzadacha, there is a chiddush there. Atkan we knew, if I don't know of chametz, that I don't violate with it, because that's not something I'm engaged with. Now we're saying it's not only that, even if you know, but you don't know where it is. Not something which is you know, like tamua, but something which is a significant chiddush. That's the havni maskana of the Fiat Tosfos. Right, so now we're good. We have, I think, the entire picture. For Tosfos, havni in the Gemara that Chaya was forbidden, even though Behemah is Mataris, that havni was, we suggested as a possibility, but just Misvar, we could have said, that was because we weren't aware of the fact that we don't, in fact, violate Bechamin Sheni Dulacha. The havni was that Gemara didn't know that yet. What the Rishonim actually seem to say, Ron explicitly, Tosfos said implicitly, is the havni was that even knowing that on that Vav, that you don't violate for Chametz Shindulacha, it doesn't apply here, in as much as right now you have it, and you do know about it, and you know that it's Darko Lesni. So that was why I would think that would be also. What's in the end when we say Mutter? Why is that? Two reasons. One, Ron, second, tells us the first, Ron says, because you don't in fact know about the Chametz, in as much as it may not happen. May be consumed entirely. So even though it's possible to be Mishayer, it's only possible. It's also possible it won't be. And once that's the case, so we don't say that knowing, you know, giving to him now means that you know about it that exists afterwards. Tosfos seems to say, no. You know it exists afterwards too. You're very aware of the possibility that it will be Matsniya, and given that's the case, you can't say you don't know. You're not aware of it. Rather, the point is, it's not just not being aware of its existence, also not being aware of where it is, its location. And that we analyze, and we said basically, if the basis for it is honest, so then that makes a lot of sense. It would be considered a situation where you wouldn't violate the fact that I don't know about it, not only where I don't know about it at all, but where I know about it, I just don't know where it is. That's honest. And it was that would make sense to say that that's true if you don't know where it is either, because what can you do with it? It still makes the other point a little bit less obvious, that you can give it to it beforehand. That seems to be related to the general issue of putting yourself in a situation where there's going to be an honest. The other view, the other way to explain, to understand the Tosfos here, was on the view that it's just not an Aveira because it's not much that you don't not get it. So we said, then even the first point is Mechudash. It's not obvious like it is for honest. The fact that if you do know of it, but you just don't know where it is, one could have thought that itself is already being wrote to the chemo, died to Allah. In fact, maybe I'm even wondering, where is my chametz? So that is a chiddush to say, if you don't know where it is, then it's also considered to be not much of the chah, again, not a terrible thing, not a, you know, a thing which doesn't make sense to say, but just the chiddush. What about the rush in the tour? So that's the Tosa. What is the rush in the tour? The havnia of the Gemara regarding chaya works for us, right? For the rush in the tour. Chaya is aser because it's going to take it away. We're going to be over b'shogeg. What's the maskan? So this is what you asked me already the other day. Like, how do they understand the Gemara? So you saw the address. What does the rush say?
Meaning the Chaya, you're only ever going to be over Beshogeg. The Hema, if he leaves it over and not has it, you'll be over Hema.
Right. So the real Chiddush is the Tosas Rav suggests we wouldn't answer this in order to prevent an Aveir Beshogeg.
Or Chashash Beshogeg.
Yeah. Although I don't remember him saying focusing so much on the Chashash point.
Presumably, they wouldn't allow you just to about that be over and Aveir Beshogeg.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point, but I don't remember in both accounts. Let's see. See, Quixote doesn't like it. Lo nearly, he came to Ruvesa much like Slow, El Shane Dea Hechanu. By the way, that line itself sounds like it could be that those that Rush, I mean, we know the Rush's position about this. He disagrees that if you don't know of it, it's not a error. But the line here he has says, Kevin Chu Bevesa Matsu Huat Slow Elish Any Odea Hechanu could have been interpreted as just disagreeing about the point that you can go from not knowing about its existence to also, even if you know about its existence, not knowing where it is. I don't think that's what the Rush has in mind, but you're saying, you look at the line here, he doesn't, he says, Kevin Chu Bevesa Matsu Huat Slow Elish Any Odea Hechanu. That's not what he means. I think he just means, you know, that if you know of it, it's a problem. She goes, Bali Matsenya Ika. And then he says, "V'nirli the fire shabach chayed mishayira mitznale ika shigas bayimatzei malo." That's the Tosfos Harash. This is like his moment of glory. You see, you were concerned about the fact that there'd be chametz that you wouldn't be aware of. That was a problem. Kamachon the lo chayishin and dilma mishayir mitzna came in the afilu mishayir mitzna like elo shigas lach lo chayishin. Maybe what you're saying is, you know, if you're reading that as is that, yeah, even if the situation comes about. So the point is that, one, it may not happen, even if it does happen.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the alternative would be the Maram Kalava. That would be a good alternative as well. He suggests, sorry, this is taking so long. Every now and then this can happen, right?
Oh.
A little bit longer here. The Maram Kalava suggests that it's Batuach that you'll find it. This is a surprise. But it would also answer this point. He says, "Chayd Yimshayr." This is the Havina that it would be usher. Yimshayr mitznai le the karen zavish shalom kol machila. The demal yai v'day to the mitzvah b'shar b'shavir v'chulei. Kamash malan the lo chayshin and the vaday akasi badik mevar kol abayis. The kamash malan was no. We trust you're going to find it. That would also obviously answer the problem for the rush. I mean, the maskana is it's true that would be a problem if you didn't find it. But it's not that we don't think it's that big of a problem. It's a strange thing to say, Rush. Rather, we think you're going to find it. That's what he said. That's the Kamash Malan. I think there's an alternative, which I just mentioned briefly, which I don't see in Rishonah, but I think makes a degree of sense, is to say, perhaps, that maybe the reason it's Mutter is because what you've done here is actually essentially the equivalent of Hefker. I haven't seen anybody mention this possibility, but the base for that would be there's a sugya of aveda midas. The Gemara of Mitzia says that aveda midas is not subject to mitzvah hashavas aveda. So what's an aveda midas? I put it in an ashpa that is the day before the garbage is going to come and take it out. So in that situation, let's say I see somebody's aveda in the garbage, which is a sugya l'hispanos, which is typically taken. There's no mitzvah hashavas aveda in that case. It's aveda midas. What is the halacha? So here you have my focus though in the Rambam and the tour. So we don't have hashavas aveda. What is it? The Rambam says, "Aval asa ligo." It's not yours. It's just there's no mitzvah shavas aveda. It's not hefker. It belongs to the guy. Mitzvah shavas aveda does not apply to that which has been seemingly neva midas. The Tur famously disagrees. The Tur thinks, "Nope, it's hefker. You can take it. It's yours if you want it." Aveda midas is hefker. How that works is significant. The Tur doesn't involve this normal act of being mafkir. Seems to be there's different ways to take it. Either way. One could argue, perhaps, the way this works is the reason that it's not a problem, even though if I own chametz, if I possess chametz, I own chametz, shalom midas, it's still ogre and nisr, but by giving it to the chayav ha'opos, in the behema, by giving it to the chayav, rather, it's an aveda midas. By giving it to any animal, it's an aveda midas. You know, it's equivalent to putting it in the garbage to be taken away. So I'm putting it not in the garbage, in front of the squirrel. That could constitute an aveda midas, and therefore, even if it takes it away somewhere, but it's no longer mine. I haven't seen anybody say that explicitly, but that would also work for the rush. He doesn't say that, but that would be a good answer too, I think. Alright, how much do we have left here? The last thing I guess to point out is the Rebbe David. Rebbe David has a different take on this whole sugya. He thinks that the chashash regarding the chaya wasn't that there'd be bayar abayimatze deraisa, because for him, again, also, you've done bittul. I'm sorry, you've done bedikah, so there's no chashash then. He thinks the chashash legabi chaya, the reason you would think chaya, that the dark latzniyah is asura, is, and we saw it, he says that the problem here was not by everybody wants to go, which is a wrinkle. What?
Can you come to you then?
Nope. He says the problem of bitachovas abdikam in the Rabban. He interprets what we're talking about here is a case of a person with nevatel chametz. Suppose most Rishonim would think that we're talking about a case where there's no bitl. And the problem was that maybe in this situation you won't be successful in carrying out the chiyuv b'dikah. And the maskana was you can be sumach upon the possibility that it won't be masniyah. Yeah. And the reason is relevant. He says, the reason I'm able to be sumach on that, not like a rush, we saw it. He said, the reason I'm able to be sumach on is the whole concern is a derabana problem. As the Reina David is a kind of like, he just goes in a totally different direction than all the other Rishonim about the Sugya. The issue is only a chovas b'dika midrabanan question. Midrash says there's no issue. He says, I'll just read it quickly. He says, Amachura says, where he comes from, Shavale Sobkin al Abitl. Shakom Mavat Linishan Zambarbas, or Minat Torah Avachamit Shalafan of Sugya Libit. El Shakvar Marnu Tagrishan Makuli Shakhan Chiv Levire. The Insar Lomar Mashalafan of El Afshabi Yadol Livdok Hatrichul Livdok, even if you're Mavatl. So you're not dealing anymore with the problem of deraisa. You were mivatel this chametz when it was yidu alacha. So at that point, there's already no issue deraisa, regardless of anything else. The ain't zarech lomar mashal lefanu ela afshe biyadu lebedok bichu. The mivatel chametz over atzar in dato ela mashal tzivu lochem mivatel. The zeh mashal ina nimtzal lo al yidei abdika. So that's kind of complicated thing. Says l'picha kish meshayeres abehema lefanei lo mitznai lei ena b'chal abitul. So that's what covers this point. Is that b'chal abitul av mashal mitznai sachayu b'chal abitul. So that's what he says. That's the transition. Just take a look at there. It's fascinating. He says, it's convoluted, but fascinating. He says that the maskana was we rely on the possibility that you won't be matzniyah to enable you to go forth because the only chashash was that you would be mivatel lechovas b'dikah ben yerban. But bittul won't work. You don't have in mind to mivatel that which is right in front of you. So that was, it's not that it doesn't work in principle, it doesn't work only because the abundance that you should get rid of it anyway. So therefore, Mela, I don't have in mind when I'm doing my bitl. And the problem is, with regard to Behema, that it's right in front of me, so therefore you don't have in mind to do the bitl upon it, and therefore you're dealing then with the Chobas Bdiga Midoraisa. That's how we put it out. Anyway, it's all fast one. It's a totally different route than everybody else, but to be aware of it. Okay, so we'll stop here.